Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, July 15th, and it is 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Czarnecki. As we know, there's history everywhere, and of course that includes Wrangell and people in Wrangell. With us today, we have 92-year-old Gilbert Stokes, who also goes by Gil in town, and Heidi Armstrong, his niece. He grew up here in Wrangell and until he was 14 and is here to share his knowledge and his experience of his life and our island community. You can call in to ask a question or leave a comment. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. Hi, you guys. How are you guys today?
Good afternoon. Go ahead, Uncle.
Yeah, I'm really feeling very great with this beautiful sunshine finally. No rain, and it's right up our alley. No coat on, and feeling really great.
It does. It feels amazing today and yesterday, too.
Indeed.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. So Heidi mentioned to me last week that you remember when Alaska was made a state in 1959. Will you tell us about that time?
That was a thrilling time, I must say. I had gotten out of the Navy in 1950, the end of 1958, almost 59. And I was able to, I settled in Washington, D.C. because I was stationed in Southern Maryland in the Navy Air Base. So I stayed because I liked it so much in D.C., except the humidity, of course. But I learned that they were going to work on statehood for Alaska, I was very eager because I've always been very political growing up, even when I was younger. And I stayed there for 3 days in the chambers up on the third floor. And there were quite a few Alaskans there at the time. I happened to be sitting next to a Catholic priest then at the time, at the last day. I looked down on the floor and I saw Senator Kennedy, John Kennedy, that is.
Oh, wow.
And Ernest Gruening and two others. It was really a great time. I do have some background on the feedings of the statehood. That Eisenhower wasn't very happy to give us statehood for the fact that we were Democratic at that time in Alaska. And he, of course, was a Republican, just out of the service, too, and running for he was president then.
Wow. Yeah, so what year were you born?
I was born in 1933.
In 1933. And so what, that would be, Alaska was 59, so that you were 26 years old?
Yes, right at 25 or 26. I can't really, I was never good in math.
I was trying to do it quickly in my head, and I think I made it.
yeah, I think so. I think I turned 26 probably after statehood.
Yeah. So you grew up in Wrangell and then you left when you were 14 years old, right? What do you remember of, you know, it wasn't a state, Alaska wasn't a state while you were growing up here. What can you tell us about what that was like? Was there a lot of legislation to make it a state during that time when you were growing up, or how was that?
Well, to be honest with you, at one point they were, but of course it was sort of brushed aside right away because of the population, and they said that we couldn't afford it to become a state, and that's the way it went for the longest time. And also Hawaii was running at the same time too, in the same condition, except they were a Republican at that time. Mm. Well, anyhow, it just went by the wayside. They didn't push it any further that I remember. But when Governor Greening came, and then also the one that went to Congress, they did what you call a Tennessee program, whereas the Alaskans here voted to put two people, senators, in Congress and to campaign and to lobby Congress. Well, that was Senator Greeney and the one, I can't remember his name offhand.
Was that James Nolan?
No.
I'm trying to look it up, but I'm going to be slow.
It was Greening, and they both became senators when they passed statehood. That was really great, and I was able to visit Senator Ernest Greening after statehood also. He was very accommodating to our Alaska citizen to drop by. And as I said, President Eisenhower he signed the bill for statehood, but he was very quietly against it because we were a Democratic state at that time.
Bob Bartlett.
Yep.
Did you get to
I
it?
Did.
Bob
yes.
Bartlett.
Yeah, Bob Bartlett. Yes, he was a good guy too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And both of those senators were Democrats?
Yes, they were. Uh-huh.
Okay. So what was it like growing up here in Wrangell?
Oh, it was great. I just wonder now as I look at the kids now, they're running around playing and seeing things, you know. We always found something to do. Always. We all had BB guns. Yeah, I remember.
Got to shoot
that.
Your eye out.
Yeah, we weren't shooting anything. We were shooting cans and bottles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then of course, when the berry time came, we used to go out and pick berries, blueberries, salmon berries, thimble berries. I've looked for them here, but I haven't found any. I found some blueberries, but and a few salmon berries, but other than that. And of course, we had the swimming hole. We had a freshwater swimming hole up there. I can't remember all the street numbers now, but
it's right now. It's Angerman's Park.
Oh, is it okay? Mm-hmm. And
that's where the swimming hole was.
So okay, is the park? It's filled in then, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Were you here? I know you left when you were 4. You left before people, like authorities in Wrangell, filled in the island. Yeah.
Yes, I was in Linden, Washington, going to school then. I was a senior in high school then, I believe, yes. When the fire came, is that when you're talking about?
Oh, no, but please tell us about it.
I was living with the family there in downtown Linden, and I was before that I worked on a strawberry farm and a dairy farm, learned how to milk cows and strip cows, and
was that in Washington?
Linden, Washington. I spent all my time there. Yeah, 4 years, and. I graduated from Linden High School in 1952.
Okay.
And I went in the Navy in 1953. Linden was a great place, too. It was a Dutch community, actually. And I lived with Dutch families.
Oh, wow.
And went to the Dutch church and so on. They were very good people. Here in Alaska, it was a little bit different sometimes because of the native population and the half-breeds.
You want to
down the line.
You want to explain what the half-breeds are? The half-breeds are just what it is.
Well, there were quite a few of us half-breeds, so to speak. my dad's an Irishman. Mm-hmm. My grandmother was from from Ireland, Dublin, and she came across into Montreal, and from Montreal to British Columbia. Well, my dad was born in Canada, Revel Stoke. That was the name of Revel Stoke, and the last name is Stokes, but it had nothing to do with that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, from there, they settled, they moved down to Seattle. Well, at the time, a lot of people don't know this, but during that time, the U.S. decided that anyone who was from out of the country and was born here became citizens.
Oh.
And that my dad became a citizen that way.
So openly.
Yes.
And welcoming.
Yes. And, of course, he settled very good because he was a Navy man. Well, that's something that Trump is trying to rule out now, but he's not very favorable in my eyes, I'll put it that way. But anyway, it was great.
Yeah.
And Dad came up here to Alaska after he got out and became a merchant marine. Somehow along the way, he met Mom. I don't know how or why, but...
Because she was beautiful.
Yeah. She went to school in Chemawa, and that was a long time ago. I don't know how they traveled from here to Oregon.
Yeah.
And but anyway, but she came here, and they wanted my mom to marry a native, but she did not. She chose my dad, and she was really against... what she had done. She wasn't against it, don't get me wrong. Her parents weren't for that, but she made it good. They stayed married for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And did one of them pass away and that's why they weren't married anymore? Or
no, they ran into whatever problems that was existing at the time. During the Depression and so on. Mm. My brother Bob and Tiny were taken and went to Skagway to the Catholic mission there. Mm. I was too little, so that I stayed at home, I guess. And Heidi's dad, Dick, my oldest brother, he stayed also. I don't know how old he was at that time either, but... He stayed and I stayed.
I think he was 12.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, that was a choice because it was good because I do remember that. I remember at Christmas time he bought me a bicycle.
Oh, oh yeah. He was, so he had a job maybe.
My dad?
He did, yeah.
Yes. He used to go down to the cannery or to the boats and he would take halibut cheeks and he would cut out because they would discard the heads and he would cut halibut cheeks out and they would go sell them. Would go sell them.
And yeah. That's how he made the money for your bicycle.
Probably. I really don't know. But we all did. We all cut up halibut cheeks. We of course had the American dock, well, the ships came in, the Princess Nora in the North Sea, but we also had a Canadian dock, too, whereas that's right out in front of the, we had the dock there right in front of where the Stickeen Hotel is now. It was extended out there. They tore that down.
Wow. Yeah, and so you left Wrangell when you were 14 years old. Why did you leave to go to Washington? And your siblings went to Skagway, too, so.
Yeah, there was a lot of time in between there, though. Yes, I went. Bob and I didn't get along too good sometimes. And my mother thought, well, maybe you should go see your dad. So she sent me down to Seattle where my brother Dick was fishing on the Tiny Boy with Hank Bowman, and he met me in Seattle, and we got on the Greyhound bus, and he drove me to Linden. Mm. We drove to Linden.
That's where Grandpa was in Linden?
Yeah, yes. He was on a farm there, too.
Yeah. And, Is Linden in the middle of the state? Like,
it's Whatcom County, just before you get to the border of Canada.
Oh.
Blaine and Ferndale.
Okay.
And Bellingham.
Okay, so north near Bellingham.
Yes.
Okay.
That's 15 miles from Bellingham.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. It's they had road connections, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a great place, and I had many friends there, and it was my second home. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you said earlier today that you did, when school was out, you came back to Wrangell for the summers.
Yes.
How was that?
Well, many times I came back. Well, first of all, I went down by Pan American from Ketchikan. The Pan American flew in Ketchikan, but we had Coastal Airline and Ellis Airlines here. They were amphibian planes.
Oh.
We landed on the water. That was thrilling, too. Yeah. We were living dangerously, but we liked it, though, because of that. Yeah. But anyhow, we went from Bellingham to Linden, and I stayed with my dad, but my dad decided he'd come back to Alaska, and he gave me a choice. So I put in the paper Alaskan. I barely remember this. Alaskan boy wants to live on a farm and work and go to school.
How old were you when you put that in the paper?
I was going on 14.
Wow.
Well, I was 14, but going on 15, I guess. And
the adventure.
They came. Yeah, they came and got a hold of me, met my dad and myself, and I learned how to milk cows and strip cows, and we also lived on a chicken farm. I learned how to polish eggs.
Yeah. And did you say they were Dutch? It was a Dutch family? Is that what you said?
Yes. They were. It was probably 99% Dutch.
Oh, wow.
And they had their beliefs, too. And I fit right in with them. There was no prejudice.
Yeah.
I never had any prejudice at all in my whole life. Well, I can also tell you, too, that my 214, my discharge papers, just about 2 years ago, I discovered they asked me my race, and they told me I was Caucasian.
Oh.
And I says, well, it is true. I am Caucasian, but I'm a half-breed. I don't know which half is half. But anyway, so I cut myself in half. Well, anyway, that was amazing to me, too. And, of course, I came back during the summer and worked in the cannery. We were Coolidge boys.
What does that mean?
Well, that's after the Iron Chink brought in the salmon, and the women slammed them, and then they sent them to another section of the cannery, and the women cut them up and put them in cans.
Mm.
And then they also, after that, they did whatever they had to do. I don't know exactly what it was, but they put them in big, big, big boilers. You could walk in there into them. It's like a pressure cooker, but it's great big. You close the doors and you cook them.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So that was your job every summer?
No, I went on the Seine boats went fishing once or twice. Yeah. Wow. Seine fishing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then okay, so when you were 18/19 years old, you joined the Navy.
That's correct. I graduated 18 and turned 19 after 6 months. I came home and stayed for 5 months and then went back to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to look for a job, but I didn't get one. I went to Boeing's, where everyone did, seemed like at that time. Well, anyway, I decided I'll go into service. So I tried the Air Force, but no quota. So I tried the Coast Guard, no quota at all. I was figured I don't want to go to the Army, and I was too smart, I thought, to go to the Marine Corps. So I said, well, I better go in the Navy where everyone else does. So that's what I did. And the Navy took me as soon as I got there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and I signed up right the same day that I went to them. And there I was on the train the next day going to San Diego.
How long were you in the Navy for?
I was 6 years.
Okay.
I did my 4 years, and then I shipped over for 2 years. I extended for two.
Where did you ship out to?
Well, I trained in San Diego Naval Hospital. Mm-hmm. We were all under studying medicine and the bones and everything. We really, it was like going to school again almost. We were there 5 days a week, 8 hours a day.
So your job in the Navy was pretty much medicine?
It was medicine, yes. I finished and went to Oakland Naval Hospital. I worked on the mononucleosis in the hepatitis ward.
Oh.
And from there, after 13 months, I traveled and went to the Philippines for 2 years. And there I worked. And we have what you call, they do it now.
Okay.
They, on the job training. Well, I went what we call strikers. I was already a Navy medic, but they let me go into surgery. So I had to learn all the bones and everything. I worked surgery. I helped. We had four different doctors specializing in different things. Mm. And I was in Subic Bay, right across the bay from Manila. And we also took care of the Marine Corps, 3rd Marine Division, which I served with, and out in the jungle and the snakes and so on, etc.
So you got to learn the whole geography and the environment and all the animals there too.
Yep. And their food in Tagalog also.
What was that like?
It was a learning period, but it was fun. We wore Bermuda shorts then, what do they call them, Bermuda shorts. Mm. We mustered at 8 o'clock in the morning. At 12 o'clock, we had lunch, and we just go over the swimming pool for an hour. We come back and work for 1 hour, and they set the watch. That was short hours. At 2 o'clock, they set the watch. If you didn't have duty, you could go down to the town or wherever you wanted to go. So that was great.
Wow. And so, yeah, so you performed surgeries while in the Navy.
I assisted. I was a scrub corpsman with the doctor.
Okay. And you all, oh, right. And then you also specialized with mononucleosis, like you said, but that was in the United States.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and the at that time, hepatitis, the Marines and the Navy were coming from the Orient, and they all had hepatitis. It was something, and so they specialized in it. And we worked what you call the ward that you had to use very strict sanitation commission, mask and gloves and so on. But that was a good learning period also.
Wow. And so that was in the Korean War, you said?
That was, yes. Okay. Very end. The president was President Masaisai. He was there when he got killed. I was there when he got killed on the plane crash. Mm. Just as here when Kennedy was shot also. I was in D.C., and Martin Luther King also, I was there.
You were, wow.
Yeah, he was sharing a little bit with me. He remembers. Yeah, you want to share with everyone where you were at?
Yes, I was working at Doctor's Hospital, I think, at the time. And we got word in the afternoon that President Kennedy was shot. And of course, we were anticipated, and everything sort of closed down right then and there.
Yeah. And then you were also in the same area that Martin Luther King was shot, too.
I was, yes. And when they rioted there, he, of course, was killed in the South. But the at the time, the I hesitated about saying this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. It was a black situation, because D.C. was probably 90% black situation. And I had many friends there, too, that were there, and I was running around pals with and everything. Mm. But at the time, when they shot, we found out the rioting started on 14th Street, and that was totally almost owned by the black people. And they rioted and tore it down. They did everything wrong. They closed everything up. They went literally crazy. And they should have gone to Georgetown, where it's a rich situation. It's all white people there, too. And that's when the pressure really came between tension of being white and being black.
Yeah, in the 60s.
Yeah,
civil rights, that was the era.
Yes.
Definitely.
And at the time, I was able to go down to the South, Virginia and Florida and so on. And I was traveling with only white people. And that is the first time I ever noticed the segregation for the first time. In the service, I didn't see it.
Wow.
Yeah, I did not see it.
But it did exist. Did it exist in the service? Not so much, no.
It did, but it was very sedated, very quiet, quiet. But it was. But it wasn't the service people, the administration. It was the people serving in the, they couldn't do anything but put up with it anyhow. But yeah, that was pretty strong for a while.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah, you lived, I mean, you're still here. Yeah, thank goodness. You were born in the 30s. Mm. You lived during, you were there when Alaska became a state. You lived during the civil rights movement.
Yes.
And you're, there's many other movements too. And then now as well, of course.
He enjoys a lot of he's a political man. He joins, he does campaigns. What was your first campaign, Uncle?
My first campaign? You know, I'm going to tell a joke here.
Okay.
I was 16 years old. You may not laugh about it, but anyway, when I was 16 years old, I was on the Sea Rose. We were in Ketchikan. And, of course, in Alaska, this is Alaska, we were wild people, right?
Yes.
Everybody. I mean, well, we pulled in to Ketchikan on a weekend. And I was only 16, but our crew members were older people, you know. They wanted to go in the bars and stuff. So I went too. I don't know exactly what I did, but I got a little bit cuckoo. And then, you remember the old phones that used to wind up?
No, well.
Well, no, you didn't.
We don't, but.
Yeah.
Like with the dial, the.
No, it's a crank
phone. No, it's a crank phone. Phone.
Well, and they also had telephone operators.
Yes, my grandma was a telephone operator.
Okay, well, I got on the phone in a bar in Ketchikan, and I asked for the White House.
Did you get the White House?
they held me to the operator held me to the phone, and all the police from Ketchikan came and arrested me.
I've never heard that story.
Didn't you?
Oh, well, that's good.
Harry Churchill, my buddy up here, he knew about it. His mom knew about it, and I made almost headlines in Ketchikan. He says, "Rangel man goes to jail, calling the president."
Oh my goodness!
They put me in jail for calling the president. They said, "Gil, what were you gonna say?" I knew what I was gonna say.
Well, what were you gonna say?
I was gonna tell him to go to hell.
Oh my gosh! What president was it?
President Truman, and he became my best president. Oh. I loved him.
Well, I'm glad you didn't get through.
Yeah, I did. But really, I went to the Sentinel office and saw Winnie Williams. That they owned it then, Winnie and Lou, and I asked him, please don't put my name in the paper. They didn't, because Ketchikan already ruined me. but anyway, from there on, I was political.
Yeah, yeah. And so age 16 until now.
And you too.
When I came, Bill Walker, I worked on his campaign. He became president.
Or governor.
Governor, yeah. And I made all the buttons for him, and I answered the phones and did everything.
Oh, wow.
He came to my 90th birthday, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
And you live in Anchorage now.
Yeah, I've been there since 1982.
Oh, you've been there for a while, yeah. For like 40 years.
Yes, well, I'm a American Legion Post 1 for 30-some years. I'm also the councilman for the Alaska Native Brotherhood. I'm also a delegate and a councilman for the Tlingit and Haida. And I'm here. I'm staying. Heidi and her husband, Mark, were good enough to let me stay with them so I could stay for the totem pole.
Yes, and that's happening this weekend.
Yes, I have my regalia and my drum, and I'll be joining them.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great. That's so wonderful. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much for coming here.
Can you tell them your native name?
Yes. Oh, we all have native names, and I happen to be Shada Shik. Shada Shik means coho, who lives in a mountain stream.
Shada Shik.
Shada Shik, yes. Coho, who lives in a mountain stream. And we come by that because I am what you call Aknak Adi. That is my clan, Raven Coho. That is my house. I'm from the house of Coho.
Yeah. I'm writing this down as you. Yeah.
Well, actually, the moiety is Aknak Adi. That's the moiety.
Okay, great.
The clan is Raven.
Yep.
And then the house, we all belong to a different house. I'm a house of Coho.
Great.
And Rangel is going to be invaded by a bunch. They're coming in. Some of them are here for last night, and some will come today. And the canoes will be coming in, too. And I am going to be watching everything, but I'll join him with my regalia too.
Yes. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And so when was the last time you've been to a totem pole raising?
Probably around 20 years ago, okay. Up in Juneau.
Okay.
Yeah. And they vary on how they're doing it too, I understand. I really don't know exactly how they're going to do it this time, but as it stands, I am going to be on the wayside, but I'll do anything they want me to do.
Yeah. He does remember when Shakes Island was built in 1942.
Oh, in 1942.
Was it 1942? Mm. Shakes Island. Shakes Island.
Oh, 1940. I was okay, a little 40. Boy. Yeah. I had a little vest on, and somebody, I was sitting on a rock, and they took a picture of me. But I barely remember that, but it was the old building, and then I remember that. And the newer buildings, what you see now, it's old now. So, but, yeah. And I didn't know this up until about 4 years ago that my best girlfriend was born in the old house. I'm talking about Nellie Gunderson.
That's your best girlfriend?
Yeah, she was then at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And so did you guys break up eventually?
Oh, I was going out of state then. I was going out of territory, I should say.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she got married to somebody, I don't know. Yeah.
But his best dancing partner was?
Oh, yeah. That was a surprise at the
parade.
Pat Lewis, Patricia Lewis, she's alive up here.
Pat
in the senior.
Oh, okay.
She was my best dancing girl.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I sold all the tickets for her with how she won. She made $400 and some.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Heidi and I, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, we went to see her because she's in long term.
Yeah.
You know, and she knew me.
It was a highlight of a trip.
Yeah.
She recognized him.
Wow. And how did that feel, visiting her?
It felt very good, except I couldn't believe I was looking at her at first, yeah. But she grabbed my hand and held it. She wouldn't let go of it. And then she did say thank you to me. Oh. Yeah.
Amazing.
She was a dancer, I tell you.
Really? And so that must mean you are a dancer, too.
I still dance. I learned how to lie dance when I was 85.
Wow.
Up there.
Yeah. In Anchorage. He was dancing this 4th of July.
Yeah, they talked me into dancing too, and I did one time.
Good. Dancing feels free, right?
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah. You're only as old as you feel sometimes.
That's right.
Sometimes I don't feel old at all.
That's fabulous.
Isn't that something? As we get older, I mean, yeah. We don't feel old.
That's true, yeah. Well, I do give thanks to the Lord that he has let me live this long. And he's been answering my prayers too. And I think we are landless, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I told everyone, I'm not going anywhere until we become...
Where we have land?
Yeah, where we have our land, yeah.
Yeah.
It's 50, going on 52 years now.
Yeah.
And the reason they turned us down was because, well, one of the reasons, because the legislature in Washington, D.C. didn't want us to ruin Tongass National Forest. And, of course, that was one of the reasons Eisenhower did not want us to become a state, being a Republican.
Mm. Didn't want us to ruin the Tongass National Forest?
They're afraid they're going to ruin it, yes, take it away. But now, Trump is for all this now.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa Murkowski, she's a good friend, by the way. And I was just reading this morning that Mary Pattola, she has a choice. She could either run for governor or senator.
Yeah.
And I think you'd do very good running for senator.
I read the headline, too.
I did not read it yet. I'm just finding out.
Well, can you just, let's just end. What is one thing that you feel nostalgic for? Like, is there one particular thing that you feel nostalgia for?
Feel the what?
Nostalgia. Do you miss anything in your life? that that's very broad with, yeah.
Well, I don't know whether people can believe this, but I can remember all of people around me from way back when. I could actually close my eyes and see them. I could remember what they looked like, and I could close my, I could remember what was in this very building. This was Eileen and Sonny Lewis's house.
Oh, where we are right now.
Right now, yes.
This land, yes.
Yeah, and the hill right here, we called it Cope Mundy's Hill, right here. All the way up.
The one we call City Market Hill. It goes. We call it City Market Hill, but it goes all the way up. He remembers because it was all wooded. And Cope Mundy, was he a judge? No.
He was a fish buyer. And okay. He was very, him and his family were very good people. Mm. And he had this beautiful home right up there. I think the Pettigrews took it over afterwards. And I can remember when the Bank Hill is, and that's where Angerman's story is now.
Yeah, so much has changed.
Yes. Well, across the bay, what we call, I don't know what they call it now, but across the bay, you had to get in your rowboat and come across
Peninsula.
From there to here.
Shoestack Point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I can still remember all that. I can remember the graves there were different places. And we also have Dead Man's Island. Yeah. We used to go play there.
Oh, really?
We used to row out there.
Wow.
And play.
What was that like?
It was fun. That's all I remember.
He was talking to me about they would row from town out to City Park because there was no road.
Okay.
And along Zamovia Highway, from Case Avenue along, that was Native burial grounds all the way out.
Wow.
And so he was talking to me about they would have clam bakes, you know, in the spring. And he talked about the ladies rowing. And Uncle, he was sharing with me that my grandmother would can clams. And in the pantry, it would be clams. And it would be salmon and moose and deer. And then he talked about, because they didn't have a refrigerator, they just had, what would you call it?
A wooden box.
Like an ice box or something.
Well, yeah. But you had to nail it upside down outside the window.
Oh.
And that's where they kept everything, in the shade.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going to say away from the sun, but there probably wasn't that much sun as well back then.
Yeah. Well, I could tell you one on Bob. He went out and caught a deer, and they skinned it and put it in a big pan and left it out in the front porch just overnight, and it got maggots.
Ooh.
And so Mom says, well, you have to get rid of that. So he picked it up and walked out the back. We had all those trees. He walked out the back. He had it up on his, over his head, and he tripped, and then he fell on him.
Oh my goodness.
All the maggots fell on him.
Oh my god. Wow. Did you say one arm Bob?
No, one on Bob.
Oh, okay.
Because Bob is his, he had two arms, but Bob was the older brother that he didn't get along with.
Okay.
They argued and I guess fought, but yeah. You want to tell them about the plumbing?
The what?
The plumbing. Cope Mundy's Hill, and you were talking to me about the plumbing.
Oh, yes. We the plumbing was just a big moat coming down the hill. Well, like right here.
Oh.
And it was wide open. And that's where all the waste went down. I'm talking about human waste.
Yes.
And it went down, and it just ran all the way out to the ocean.
Wow. And the road stopped. There was no Zamovia Highway.
Correct.
Right.
And you were here. There was a moat near here at KSDK.
Yes.
And were there other moats as well?
They were all over town.
All over town.
Also, and we didn't have electricity. I can remember that too. Mm. We used to go to our neighbors. And You better take the gaslight.
A gaslight.
Yeah, like the flashlight, but with gas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever it was, but that's the only way we had lighting.
So, Wrangell definitely has changed a lot.
Yes, it has.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking with us and sharing your experience with the whole community and our listeners. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your kindness, too. And even to all the Wrangell people, if they ever come to Anchorage, you better look me up.
Yeah, so that was Gil Stokes. You can look him up as Gilbert Stokes, right?
Right, yeah.
And Heidi Armstrong.
That's correct.
So, yeah, and also I want to make an announcement. The Wrangell and Petersburg Little League Majors All-Stars are playing at Prince of Wales at 2:30 today. That's in 10 minutes. You can watch online on the Game Changer app. Join the Wrangell / Petersburg, but WRG / PSG, LL Majors All-Stars team. It's free.
Can I say one more
Absolutely,
thing?
Yes.
What I wanted to say, it sounds maybe political, but it's not. Or maybe it is. we have formed a dance group. We have, we have 3,700 members of the Tlingit language in Haida, and we formed a dance group called the Anchik Dancers. We are 4 years old now, and we are pretty well known. We travel around. We just came back from Bethel, Alaska.
Oh my goodness!
Yes, and what I'm trying to say is, they call us now when they want people to perform, and we do that for them. It's called the Anchik Dancers, and they all of us are employed. Well, I'm not, but we're employed, and they come when they have to, and we're really well known now.
Wow.
We're spreading the word. The Tlingits are coming.
Amazing. Gunas cheese.
Ah.